ransom your name. Be lifted high, so all the world will see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Oh, he's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Yes. Hallelujah. There is power in your name, healing in your name, salvation in your name. And Jesus, you are going to return again to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all the nations of the world. And we're grateful, Lord. We know that your word is true. And Lord, we know it's going to happen. Lord, we want you to help us, Lord, to occupy until you come, Lord. We're not going to back up. We're not going to back down. We're not going to be quiet. Lord, we're going to be your people, bold, strong, and moving forward no matter what may come. Because, Lord Jesus, you said that you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And I don't care what the gates of hell throw at us, we will not be stopped. Thank you, Lord. Bless this service today, Lord. Anoint me, I pray. Help me share this word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're with us. You are with us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. And like sheep that have gone astray, you seek us out. That you seek to be with us. You seek us to be with you. Lord, that's what it's all about. Lord, you said eternal life is that we might know you and Jesus Christ. And now ascend, Lord. It's about knowing you. And God, we thank you that we can know you. We can know your presence. We can know your peace. We can know your forgiveness. Lord, we can experience your power. Lord, truly, God, we can know you. We can hear your voice and be led by your Spirit. God, I'm thankful for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We had a good amen over there. Hallelujah.
The Lord said, he is the truth, the light, and all things are possible through him. And he said, fear not, for I am with you.
Amen. You got to say it again. You got to say it again. That's what, nobody can hear you. Right. Put the microphone right.
Hold on. Okay. The Lord said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. And that fear not, he is always with us.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Good to have everybody here. Surprises. Great to see everybody. Some faces we hadn't seen in a while. And good to have everyone. I think everything's working this morning. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. We don't take that for granted anymore, do we? We found out the problem is we had one little bitty tiny splitter. So we bought three of them, just in case. Anyway, this morning, I've got a message that really... I was going to share part of this at Skyfall, but I felt it just wasn't time, and then the Lord led me a different direction at Skyfall. I'm in the process of writing an article on communism, but I want to just go down through some of this morning. This is going to be a lot of information, so please stay with me. But I'm just entitled this morning, America Divided. Now, this is not something about what's going on right now, because this is really something that's been bothering me for a long time. Look, we all know. I mean, I'm hearing from all kinds of people. There's so many sources, eyewitnesses, and evidence of voter fraud across the country. We know this. The Democrats are in the process of the biggest steal that they've ever done in an election. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, remember last week Pastor Troy asked me, do you have a word this time? Because I had a word from the Lord in 2016. And I was honest. I said, no, I don't. I don't really know. The Lord hasn't told me what's going to happen. But I want to say this, regardless of what happens, regardless of the outcome of what the courts do or whether Trump remains president or Biden becomes president, our country is seriously divided. But I want to say this. We're not divided because of race. I know they try to convince us we're divided because of race, gender, or the common accusation of income inequality. We'll get into what that means in a minute. But even though, yeah, maybe there are some divisions in race and all, that's not what's really dividing the country. Listen, a long time ago, really what's divided our country is our political differences basically began to take us away from the fundamental principles found in the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. There's a large segment, I'm going to say this, a large segment of Americans, and I'd say about half maybe, but there's a large segment of Americans who they've basically been divided against our common foundation. What made us all, what makes us Americans, that's the problem. It's not black or white or Hispanic or Jew or whatever. It really comes down to this political difference. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up this morning is because there is, I'm going to show you, there's a spirit behind this political difference. It's look, what we see manifest in the physical realm, whether it be in a city or in a church or in a state or in a nation, there's always spiritual forces working behind something. And it's either the Spirit of God or it's Satan, the devil, and his demons working in that situation. And I want to show you some things that are pretty much going to blow your mind. But I just wrote here, I'm going to read some of this article that I'm working on this morning. It says, I said, sadly, America is no longer one nation under God, indivisible. Think about that. No, we're divided. With liberty and justice for all. Approximately half the people in our nation, either through ignorance, media, public school brainwashing, or outright betrayal, are communist at heart. This is the problem. Some people are communist at heart. They don't even know it. Their beliefs, their ideologies are communist, socialist, and they don't know it because it's been fed to them gradually. And most people, if you ask them, in fact, I looked at a recent poll, a 2020 poll about this, most people couldn't even define for you communism, socialism, Marxism. They couldn't really define it. And that's the problem. If you don't know what something is, you can be indoctrinated with it real easily if you don't know how to recognize the principles, okay? But anyway, approximately half of America in our nation, either through ignorance or, like I said, public school brainwashing or outright betrayal or communist at heart, that some do not even realize that they are communists, yet their core beliefs are contrary to everything that made America great and prosperous. They left the God of our fathers. That's the first problem, the God of the Bible. They left the Bible. And then they left the wisdom that God gave our founding fathers to found this nation. That's the two things they've left, God and his moral standard. And they left the wisdom because, you know, I just went through the Hillsdale College course on the Constitution. Regardless of whether some of our founding fathers were Christian or not, many of them were, but God was working through them. There was a wisdom. And many of them, even those that didn't fully believe like we believe as Christians, understood that the providence of God, the Creator, was working in the situation. And let me just tell you, God can work through saved or unsaved. You have to understand that. But the God of our foundation, as I shared a number of weeks back, it's clear is the God of the Bible. Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. All right? So we've departed from that foundation, and we've departing from understanding that we are not a democracy. I hate the word democracy. I noticed the other night when Fox was doing their election coverage, it was democracy. That's brainwashing. Democracy is 51% rules, no matter wrong or right. A republic, like America is based on supreme law, the guardianship of supreme God-given rights, meaning that even if the majority vote against the document's right. And what does that protect? It protects the minority. It protects also the individual rights. But communism is the opposite of that. Communism doesn't care about individual rights. They have an idea of what's good for the whole, the collective. And individual rights must be surrendered. All right? That's what communism. You cannot be an American, call yourself an American, say you believe in freedom and the Constitution, and yet be a communist or a socialist or a Marxist. And may I say that all those words are the same thing. I don't care if they try to redefine Marxist, communist, socialist. Like I said, I got a lot to share with you this morning, but let's go to the next thing. I want you to hear a little bit here. This is an interview. I don't know who this guy is, but he's interviewing one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, and I want you to listen to this.
He was concerned or is concerned that that there's a lack of perhaps ideological direction in Black Lives Matter that would allow it to be to fizzle out, in, as he said, in comparison to Occupy Wall Street. As you are advanced in your own organization, as you all are headed to Cleveland to participate in this Black Lives Movement conference, how do you respond to that particular critique? Again, a loving critique from an elder of the struggle, that some others share, that I've even shared as well, to be frank, is a concern about, in part because of the co-optation and the appropriation, that a more clear ideological structuring might be of some value here. But how do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might, I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theory.
So she said her framework is that she is a trained Marxist. I'd love to know who trained her. I got a sneaky suspicion it was Obama and his team. I'll show you that in a minute. But she said she's a trained Marxist. Now that is a huge, huge revelation because she didn't even use the code word socialism or democratic socialism. No, she said we are trained Marxists. That's our ideology. That's our framework. All right, you have to understand, and we're going to understand before today's over what that means. Notice this. You see the signs, Black Lives Matter. Remember that idea? That's a good idea. Black lives do matter. But notice in the midst of all that, it says you can't have capitalism without racism. So what are they trying to say? What do we got here? We have Marxism, communism, socialism, which is against capitalism, our free market, our way of life, saying right now that we need to do away with that. And basically saying if you have capitalism, you automatically have racism. Oh, well, I guess there's never been any racism in the genocides of communism. No. This is propaganda. These are lies. Racism is real, but guess what? Racism is a condition of man's sinful heart, and it's in every society, and it's in every political sphere. It exists. I don't understand why they think they can, you know, take that and, you know, make it just for themselves, but it's a serious. You see this all over their protests. War, racism, poverty, capitalism must go. When they say capitalism must go, they're saying America must go. You have to understand that. We wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be the country we are. We would never have made the successes, the strides, the prosperity. We would have never made it this far without the philosophy of capitalism, that freedom. And you know what that is? Freedom to own property, freedom to run your own business. Freedom to use your money as you see fit. Freedom to work harder than the other guy and make more than the other guy instead of everybody trying to make everybody equally miserable. This is a serious issue here. And this brainwashing... the brainwashing is being successful. Look at this. 36% of U.S. millennials now approve of communism, up from 28% up from 28%, I should say. Millennials. That's the next generation. Where do you think we're going to be if the Lord tarries the next 20 years, 30 years, when these people are the ones trying to run the country and voting? Which I don't know if votes even matter anymore. I mean, the only way we're going to make it matter anymore is no more mail-in, no more of that. You vote in person, there's a paper ballot, there's a computer tally, and if the computer tally doesn't match the paper ballot, then you go with the paper. That's the only way we're going to do it. We know that there's the computer programs that change votes. Been watching it happen. It's a CIA program. This stuff is being revealed It's all over the place. Trump won this election in a landslide. I'm sorry if that offends some of you out there, but he won in a landslide. This is the biggest steal in the history of the United States. The only bigger scam that's ever been perpetrated upon the American people besides this election was the presidency of Barack Obama. Okay? And, of course, 9/11, and there's a list, but those are my top three. But popularity, look at this. This Newsweek, popularity of socialism spiking in U.S. with 43% now saying it would be good for the country. Socialism, communism. How can this be in America? How can this be? I mean, just think about it. But remember, it's an ideology. It's a belief system, and there is an evil spirit behind it. And people just don't realize. Again, most people don't realize that they've been brainwashed. Some know that they're socialists, communists, Marxists, like Black Lives Matter. At least they admit it, right? But there's a lot of people who don't. You say the people that were for Obamacare, what do you think that was? That was pure communism being pushed upon us. I'll show you that in a minute. But I want to say this. These modern socialists do not hold dear the United States Constitution or the principles of our founding fathers. They've embraced the ideology of Karl Marx and the United Nations. The United Nations holds the same philosophy. In fact, the United Nations and the Charter and all that was founded, and the man that led that was Alger Hiss, and he was a Soviet agent. You have to understand that the original principles and the original purpose of the United Nations was to be a communist world government. That is the goal. And when you hear the term New World Order, that means communist world government. This is where everything is headed, all right? Here's where I said that this is a great study right here. But I just noticed right down here, it says overall 85% say they know at least a little about socialism, but most of them just didn't know. Like it says 26% of Generation Z believe Marxism most looks like totalitarian state that suppresses the freedoms of its citizens compared to 72% of the silent generation and 58% of the boomers. So, again, the younger they get, the less they know what it really is or fully understand it. Now, notice the attack on the Constitution. I say these modern socialists don't hold dear the Constitution. It's pretty much the modern Democrats. Democrats now are socialists. You just have to understand this. What they believe, what they want, what the ideas they push for, they are socialist, communist, Marxist. Here is a professor of government at the University of Texas teaching your little children, your little brains of mush, and this man says the Constitution is the crisis. The system is rigged, and it's the Constitution doing the rigging. Let me tell you something. Any man or woman talking like that has no concept of what it means to be America, to be an American citizen. And what gets me is when these people take oath of office, these Democrats, they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Well, we know that basically they have no morality whatsoever. They have no standard morality. You throw God out, you throw the Bible out, what's your standard morality? I'll tell you what it is. The end justifies the means. We'll cheat, steal, lie, spit in your face, and tell you you deserve it, if that's what it takes. This is just one. Let's look at a few more. Look at this. Democrats continue to turn on the Constitution. Sorry, you're offended, but we don't live in a democracy. We don't. In fact, Karl Marx said he loved democracy. He said democracy is the path to communism. You understand that? Majority rule is the path to communism if you convince enough people to believe the ideology. Well, guess what? That's pretty much what's happened in America. Let me tell you, these elections over the last just decades, there shouldn't even ever been a Democrat elected. Now, granted, there's Republicans, it's fake Republicans, who are also this, Well, what I'm saying, if for the American people, if you put two up side by side and one says, hey, I'm going to give you a bunch of free stuff, and the government should run everything. Oh, and by the way, we want to kill babies too. Communism always comes with a genocide. You know, the one in our country is abortion. But it's not going to stop there. I'll show you that in a minute too. Here we go. Democrats finally admit they hate our Constitution. Hillary Clinton going off on it. Who wants to blow up our Constitution? It's not Trump. No, he's not the one against it. Obama made this statement. I think a lot of people probably forgot about this. Back in October 27, 2008, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama described the U.S. Constitution as having deep flaws during a September 2001 Chicago public radio program, adding that the country's founding fathers had, quote, an enormous blind spot when they wrote it. Obama had remarked that the Constitution, quote, reflected the fundamental flaw of this country that continues to this day. Obama's statement came during a panel discussion that aired Chicago's WBEZ FM on September 6, 2001, titled Slavery and the Constitution. Now, this either shows a massive amount of ignorance or it was done on purpose. These people say these things to undermine young people's belief and trust in the foundation of our country. Was it perfect? No. But did they provide within the Constitution and within the Declaration of Independence already have the foundation to deal with injustice, the slavery issue? They were just afraid to deal with it in the very beginning because of the division it was going to cause, but they did deal with it. And let me tell you something. They made the mistake of brushing it under the rug a little too long, which is why the country divided over it. And the country divided over it, and it was a good thing that we divided over it, and we dealt with it. Now, it was sad that, 600,000 people had to die in the Civil War, but if that's what it takes to fix the problem, you know what I'm saying? And I think, I'm going to tell you this, we might be there again. We might be there again. Here you got Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia reveals his gross contempt for the U.S. Constitution. He says, due process is killing us right now. Due process. Getting in the way of, you know, gun control. Yeah. That's a U.S. senator. How does a U.S. senator and a presidential candidate that became president say the Constitution is deeply flawed? These are Marxists, people. These are Marxists, and I'll prove it to you in a second as we go through this. Let's just keep going. Now, what do these Marxists want to do? Let me just, I really just ought to read this right here. They don't hold dear the United States Constitution. They've converted these converts to communism, will not listen to reason or the deadly genocidal and destructive history of any people or nation that embrace Marxism. They want the government to provide for them. They're okay with censorship. They hate Christians and Christianity, just like Karl Marx. They want the government to disarm the rest of us so they can force us to conform to their communist ideology, which happens in all communist countries. They also want to force medical procedures on you, vaccinations, data storage implants. They want to do that to us and our children without our consent, just like they did in Nazi Germany. Many people don't even know that the Nuremberg Code, after the Nazis, after we found out what they were doing, and the Nuremberg trials, they came up with a code that says that never should anyone be forced to consent to any medical procedure against their will. The United Nations says that too, and yet what do? They talk out of one side of the mouth, but then they do something else. That's what communists do. That's what socialists do. Let's listen to this. Let's listen to old Joe. He says he's coming for your guns.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period. Look, the Second Amendment doesn't say you can't restrict the kinds of weapons people can own.
So that was one of the viral videos, Jerry, that you had seen. Another one is where he talks about putting Beto O'Rourke in charge of guns. We're going to run that, too. Watch.
I want to make something clear. I'm going to guarantee you this is not the last year seeing this guy. You're going to take care of the gun problem with me. You're going to be the one who leads this effort. I'm counting on you.
Right, and that's the video right there, Jerry, that scared you, right?
Yeah. It was a little bit disturbing to see that a politician wants to take away my right to defend myself.
So which Joe Biden do you believe?
The one that wants to take my guns.
So you told him you want to, most of these assaults are happening with handguns, and you want to take my AR, he thought 14, but he says means AR-15, we think. So you say he should not touch your AR-15, and it's not an assault weapon.
He doesn't need to touch anybody's weapon at all. Jerry, what we need to do is we need to concentrate on teaching people how to respect firearms and how to use them, not take them away.
This is the guy that Biden says if he wins, he's going to put in charge of the gun control issue. Little Beto.
What a disgusting country this is, says Beto. And because America is fundamentally immoral, Americans don't deserve the constitutional liberties they have had from the very beginning. President Beto, he said, would create a national gun registry of all firearms in the country and then use a registry to seize the firearms of law-abiding Americans.
This is a country that has produced the leadership that will ensure that we not only have universal background checks and red flag laws and end the sale of those weapons of war, but that we go the necessary steps further, as politically difficult as they may be. A gun registry in this country, licensing for every American who owns a firearm, and every single one of those AR-15s and AK-47s will be bought back so they're not on our streets, not in our homes, do not take the lives of our fellow Americans.
Nope. No, I'm sorry, Beto. Not going to happen. Is that his real name? Robert Francis is his real name? So a white guy is pretending to be Spanish. Changing his name. Wow. Okay. Now some folks ought to be offended at that right there, right? That's ridiculous. But here again, Biden's with Francis. Says, if I win, I'm coming for them. Here he goes.
And by the way, this guy can change the face of what we're dealing with. With regard to guns, assault weapons, with regard to dealing with climate change. And I just want to warn it in. If I win, I'm coming for them.
If I win, I'm coming for them. Good luck with that. Here's a history of what happens after governments have disarmed their citizens. 1911, Turkey disarmed its citizens, and between 1915 and 1917, they murdered 1.5 million Armenians. 1929, Russia disarmed its citizens, and between 1929 and 1953, they murdered over 20 million Russians. 1935, China disarmed its citizens, and between 1948 and 1952, they murdered over 20 million and continued to murder people, probably up to the 100 million number. Because that's what communism and socialism does. I'll show you a quote from Mao in a minute about guns. Very interesting. 1956, Cambodia disarmed its citizens, and between 1975 and 1977, they murdered 2 million people because they were establishing a communist society. 1964, Guatemala disarmed its citizens. Between 1964 and 1981, they murdered 100,000 Mayan Indians. 1970, Uganda disarmed its citizens. Between 1971 and 1979, they murdered 300,000 Christians. And this could go on and on. Here's what Mao said. Mao, the leader of China, the communist revolution in China, he made a very interesting statement here. He said, every communist must grasp the truth. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. That's why they want to take your guns away. That's why they want to disarm us. They don't want us to have a weapon that we could actually defend ourselves with against the state. And then he goes on to say that our principle is that the party, the Communist Party, commands the gun. And the gun must never be allowed to command the party. The opposite is true of America. The Second Amendment was put here so the people could have the political power against the state. You understand that? Communist says the state should have all the gun power so that it can completely control the people and even kill millions of you if you don't toe the Communist Party line. These people are following the Communist playbook to the letter. They're following Marx's Communist Manifesto. They're following Mao. They're following it. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Biden's. Let me tell you who's going to be the real president. If Biden does take the office, I'm not saying be elected, Obama's running the show. Biden's a puppet. Everybody knows it's a puppet. He goes on to say, he says, we are advocates. Listen to this. And here's, don't you hear the same? This is Mao Zedong, right? Responsible for killing 100 million people. One of the biggest mass murderers. He makes Hitler look like a choir boy, right? And listen to this double talk that you hear from Democrats in this country today. Listen to this. He says, we are advocates of the abolition of war. We don't want war. What? You went to war against your own people simply because they didn't all embrace your same political ideology. We don't want war, but war can only be abolished through war. And in order to get rid of the gun, it is necessary to take up the gun. Hypocrites. That's what I'd call that, right? But that's Mao. Look it up for yourself. You don't trust me? Here we go. Here's
the affirmative
Biden.
Task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again, and the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed. So we have to do what we do best. We have to lead. We have to lead. We have to update the global rules of the road. We have to do it in a way that maximizes benefits for everyone, because obviously it's overwhelmingly in our interest. This is not a zero-sum game. It's overwhelmingly in our interest that China prosper, that Mongolia prosper, that nations big and large, east and west. We have to level the playing field.
We have to level the playing field. Comrade Biden. I played that clip so you'd hear the communism coming through, the socialism, the Marxism. Also, he said, we are going to build a new world order. And then he defined it, but see, most people just, they hear it and they pass right over, because he said the institutions created after World War II. Well, what's he talking about? What institution was created after World War II to try to bring in a new world order government? The United Nations. He said that must be strengthened and changed. What they mean when they say strengthened and changed is that the United Nations must go through a transformation, getting rid of the veto power within the Security Council and becoming a democracy where they vote. Now, let me tell you something. The majority of countries that are in this are not democracies. They're dictatorships. And let me tell you, most of them are against the United States, right? So what's going to happen if they turn the United Nations into a pure democracy, get rid of the veto, strengthen it as a world government, and allow mob rule? Every decision will be against this country and against anyone who wants to speak, have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, own property, have your own firearm to protect your property and your family. Oh, and that's why the United Nations has advertisements for disarming agents in the United States. Oh, they have plans for us. And Biden's part of that plan. And he has been for a long time. Now, I want to show you this. I mentioned this a minute ago. But we're in trouble as a nation because most of our people have drifted away from God. And when I say God, I mean the God of the Bible and his moral standard. You know, thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, take the name of the Lord God in vain, bow down to idols and statues, and all his laws about witchcraft, fornication, homosexuality. We've just, for the most part, forsaken that. We've forsaken that. And here's what one of our Christian founding fathers said, John Adams, writing to the Massachusetts militia, October 11, 1798, says this: "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions that are unbridled by morality and religion." Basically saying our government cannot withstand a people who are completely unbridled. They have no morality and no religion. And, of course, the religion he was talking about was Christianity. He says, "Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." This is the problem. Anyone that has any type of morals and true religion, and when I say true religion, I mean true born-again experience in Jesus Christ, knowing the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God, and understands that we must repent of sin, receive his forgiveness, his atonement that he paid for on the cross and through his resurrection, and that we must repent of sin, not desiring to be wicked, immoral, ungodly, unbridled in our lust and passions, but that we are to be self-controlled, temperate in all things, and following God in the best of our ability, walking in righteousness and holiness before God. This is the reason we are where we are. This is how yesterday I made a comment on one of our news Facebook pages. I think it was WSFA. I can't remember, in Montgomery. And there was a lady rejoicing about, you know, Biden's so-called alleged win. And she's rejoicing. And I just said, you know, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy the communism and socialism they bring, because it's going to affect you. Because he's already said he's going to raise your taxes. So get ready. And she said something about she praised God for Biden. I said, what God are you talking about? Because it's certainly not the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you just voted for and are rejoicing and celebrating a pro-abortion, baby-killing, baby DNA, body part-selling, Planned Parenthood-supporting, child-sniffing, child-groper as your president. So the God you're serving must be the God of this world, Satan. I'm just blown away. I'm praising God. And guess what? She probably goes to a church in Montgomery. This is the problem. I mean, let's just look at one thing. You want to look at communism? The Bible says this, and I'm just going to quote it. You guys don't have to put it up. But for instance, the Apostle Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is 2 Thessalonians 3:10. He said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, he should not eat." Yet many people in our country want the government to give them free college tuition, free health care, unending welfare. And these are just Marxist ideas. These are Marxist beliefs. These are Marxist programs and philosophies. I want free stuff. I want Bernie Sanders. He says, "I'm a Democrat socialist. I want free universal health care for all." There's no such thing as free. Somebody's paying for it. Somebody's working and paying for it. Well, you know what they say. You know Obama said. We'll get to that in a minute. You didn't build that. Anything you earn, anything you build is not really yours. It belongs to everybody else. That's communism. See, let me tell you something. Socialism and communism and Marxism might be fun. Stupid little high schoolers and college students, they think it's going to be fun until they come to get your stuff to give it to someone else. Because that's what it is. It's not even Robin Hood. It's not even a Robin Hood political philosophy. It's really just theft. Communism is theft. It's thievery. No, here's the thing. Guess what? We're supposed to freely give, meaning it's our choice. We see someone in need, we freely choose to give. Not the government put a gun to our head and say, we're going to take from you and give to this one. No matter how much, there's a difference between how much work you're doing. That's communism, folks. You think some people think, well, why are you this is like a political message. No, this gets into the fundamentals of Christianity. You don't work, you don't eat. That's what Christianity says. And you know what the socialists, the communists, the Marxists, the Black Lives Matter leaders would say? Ooh, that's evil. That's that capitalism. And that's why they hate Christianity. Because Christianity is about you get up off your butt and you work. There's nothing free. If somebody gives something to you, it's out of the goodness of their heart freely. They choose to do it. They're not forced to do it. And if you don't leave people alone so they can succeed, how are they going to have enough to provide for themselves and help other people? If you tell them what they can and they can't do in business or with their capital, their money. See, capitalism is about doing what you feel you need to do with your money. No, you're going to be told what to do. In fact, guess what Marx was all for? He said the way you destroy capitalism is you keep raising taxes. Karl Marx. I'll show you that in a minute. Y'all learning something this morning? I hope so. About to get in the nitty-gritty. Here we go. Communist Manifesto. Most of us have just heard that phrase. Think it's a harmless little book, right, for college students to read. No, it's the most deadly book that's ever been written. Y'all know that? It's caused more bloodshed, poverty, destruction, misery than any book that's ever been written. It's amazing. I think it was, 1878, something like that. But Marx and Engels had a 10-point plan. Here it is. This is taken verbatim from the Communist Manifesto. Let's read it. Number one, abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes, meaning no private property, all property is, when they say public owned, they mean state. Okay, you have to understand that, state owned. Number two, heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Number three, abolition of all right of inheritance. So, see, you don't own anything, you can't pass it on to your children. They pass it on to whoever they see fit. Number four, confiscation of all property of immigrants and rebels. So, by rebels, they mean anybody that doesn't agree with the Communist Party 100%, you're a rebel, you're in trouble. Not only are you going to lose your property, but you're going to end up in a gulag, prison camp, re-education camp, or you're going to just be killed, all right? This happens in every time as communism progresses. Centralization, number five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and exclusive monopoly. So complete control of the money by the state and the banking system. Are we there? Yeah, pretty much. Seven, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state and bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. So basically, they take everything, all the farms, all the factories, they take control of that and divvy it out and have people work and do as they see fit. They say here equal obligation of all to work, but what they mean by that in whatever context they choose, and I'm going to show you in a second, they talk about they make a classless society, but that's not true. They never do. They always make a high class and a low class, always. But this is interesting. Gradual abolition of all distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Yeah, that's what the UN's about. And then here, number 10, free education for all children in public schools. Yeah, our whole public school system is based on communism and socialism. It shouldn't even exist. The state should not be involved in education, period, because they have implemented indoctrination. When America was becoming great was when we had little one-room schoolhouses and one teacher who lived there. You get what I'm saying? That's why really the only answer now is pretty much homeschooling, but we're going to try to change that in Alabama. My position is going to be get the state out of the schools completely. Yes. Oh, centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah, all the media companies, all the big tech, they're all socialist communists. That's why they censor us. They censored the president. You know, anything that doesn't go along with the agenda is censored. Thank you for, I didn't mean to miss that one. But oh, there's so much. Karl Marx. Now, I want to read this. This is just an important to understand. I want you to understand communism from his words. So here's what he says. It's Karl Marx wrote, and this is in the Communist Manifesto. He said, the first step in the revolution, I put communist in there so you understand that, but first step in the communist revolution by the working class, and really what he means is people who just feel left out, you know, or, you know, people owe them, and so they usually are offended, and so they're easily manipulated by this kind of stuff. But he says, the revolution by the working class is to raise the proletariat, which means the collective group of communists, of ruling is not win the battle of democracy. He said, as not to win the battle of democracy, the proletariat or the group of communists will use its political supremacy. Basically, once it gets you into a democracy and wins its political power, it's going to use its political supremacy to wrest or twist, take away by degrees all capital, that means wealth and property, from the bourgeoisie, the successful and even middle-class capitalists with conventional views. If you look all this up, I'm telling you, I looked all this up to make sure. They want to take away even from the middle class. They don't want anybody that has anything, that's acquired anything by work or by inheritance. They don't care. They want to take that away. And especially if you have conventional views like about family, morality. No, they're taking it from you. And they want to centralize all instruments of production in the hands of the state. Obamacare, Canada's government health care, you see. But notice he says the proletariat, basically the communist groups that are organized become the ruling class. Do you see that? So it's not all this talk about equality and everybody being equal. No, no, no. In communism, there's always a ruling class and there's always the poor serfs. Always. You just change. They change the structure we have in capitalism because you're going to have people that succeed more than others in capitalism. That's just the way it works. But they're going to do away with that whole thing and change it for one worse. But it's still going to have a wealthy ruling class. Why? Because human beings are greedy. Now look at this. This is why you see this kind of stuff. Seattle BLM protesters demand white people give up their homes. rally for reparations, defund the police and put it into their communist social programs in the city. That's what that's all about, taking this money from over here and give it to us so we can get in power. There's Bernie. Education should be available to all regardless of anyone's station. Bernie Sanders on tuition-free colleges. Again, who's paying for that? Barack Obama, July 13, 2012. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Yet he says about Muslims, built the very fabric of our nation. I don't know where he got that from. In fact, our founding fathers knew what Islam was, and they fought against it. So that's just a lie. But how do you say you didn't build that and then say Muslims built our country? You talk about delusional. But yeah, people just listen to this stuff. Obama. Obama's big lie revealed, yep. Barack Obama's real father, and really the one who raised him and mentored him, Communist Party propagandist Frank Marshall. Most people don't know this. But this is a great book here called The Communists, Frank Marshall Davis, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mentor. Frank Marshall Davis, who mentored, taught Obama about everything. And you see, and this guy, Frank Marshall, wrote in a newspaper, he wrote in communist papers all of his positions on things, and you saw them echoed in Obama's administration. But he says here Frank Marshall Davis was a pro-Soviet, pro-Red China communist. His Communist Party USA card number revealed in the FBI files was CP number 47544. He was a prototype of the loyal Soviet patriot, so radical that the FBI placed him on the federal government security index in the early 1950s. Davis opposed U.S. attempts to slow Stalin and Mao. He favored Red Army takeovers of Central and Eastern Europe and communist control in Korea and Vietnam. Dutifully, he serving the cause, he edited and wrote for communist newspapers in both Chicago and Honolulu, courting contributors who were Soviet agents. Here's a direct quote from him. He said, "I admire Russia for wiping out an economic system which permitted a handful of rich to exploit and beat gold from the millions of plain people. As anyone who believes in freedom and democracy for all, I honor the Red Nation." So this was Obama's mentor, one of them. Y'all understand? Because see, look, you guys need to know, why are you bringing up Obama? Because he hasn't gone away. And he's not going away. He's got a whole organization behind the scenes. De Blasio, same way. Most people don't know that De Blasio, I mean, the New York Times, while he was running for mayor, bragged. Mayor hopeful. Now, De Blasio was once a young leftist. What they mean, socialist, communist. Because you go to his Wikipedia page, and what do you find out? He was an ardent supporter of the ruling socialist government, the Sandinistas. He went down there and helped them. And in 1990, he described himself as an advocate for democratic socialism when asked about his goals for society. And then who did he help? He worked for Bill Clinton, and then who did he help get elected to the United States Senate? Hillary Clinton. And admitted, confessed, socialist. Communist. Is it any wonder why he handled the coronavirus thing in New York like he did? Huh. Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky. Anybody ever heard of that? Well, here's something you may not have heard. Let's look at his book. Why am I bringing this up? Because you know what? Obama and Hillary were trained by this guy. Personally. In fact, he offered Hillary a job, but she decided to go to Yale. But she wrote her paper, 1969, one of her thesis papers on Saul Alinsky, had him come speak. They were chummy. Notice this, Alinsky opens in the book's prologue by writing, "The revolutionary force today has two targets, moral as well as material. Its young protagonists are one moment reminiscent of the idealistic early Christians, yet they also urge violence and cry, 'Burn the system down.'" Have we heard that lately? Huh. Burn the system down. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that lately. Word for word, exactly as Saul Alinsky wrote in his Rules for Radicals. He goes on to say, Alinsky writes on page 10, a Marxist begins with his prime truth that all evils are caused by the exploitation of the proletariat or the group of communists by the capitalist. From this, he logically proceeds to the revolution to end capitalism, then into a new social order or new world order, or the dictatorship of the proletariat, meaning the group of communists create a dictatorship, and finally, the last stage, the political paradise of communism. Show me one. Has there ever been one? No. Look at Venezuela right now. Alinsky's Rule for Radicals, but this takes the cake right here. This is in his dedication in the book. He dedicates. He has a dedication page. He says, lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer. Now, this is in the dedication of the book, dedicated to Lucifer. And this was Hillary and Obama's mentor. Look here. There's a match made in hell. Well, let's look at Hillary Rodham Clinton as a student at Wellesley in 1969, interviewed Saul Alinsky and wrote her thesis on Alinsky's theories and methods. She concludes her thesis by writing, Alinsky is regarded by many as the proponent of a dangerous socio-political philosophy. As such, he has been feared, just as Eugene Debs and Walt Whitman, and then she throws in Martin Luther King, has been feared because each embraced the most radical of political faiths, democracy. No, they didn't. Not Martin Luther King, anyway. Alinsky offered Hillary a job upon graduation from Wellesley, but she decided to attend Yale Law School, where she met her husband, Bill Clinton. I could say something here, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate. Obama, a lot of you probably didn't know this. Obama taught workshops on Alinsky's theories and methods for years, and in 1985 he started working as a community organizer for the Alinskyite group called, quote, Developing Community Projects. While building coalitions of black churches in Chicago, Obama was criticized for not attending church and decided to become an instant Christian. He then helped fund the Alinsky Academy. Obama was a paid director of the Woods Fund, which is a nonprofit organization used to provide startup funding and operating capital for Midwest Academy, which teaches Alinsky tactics of community organization. When they say community organization, that means preparing for communist revolutions, what that means. Obama sat on the Woods Fund board with William Ayers, the founder of the Weather Underground, a communist revolutionary domestic terrorist organization who actually tried to blow up some people. These were his mentors, right? It's scary. Now, here's a quote from Karl Marx from one of his, he wrote plays and poems. Can you imagine? This is like Count Dracula writing plays and poems, and they sound very similar to something that might come from Count Dracula. But notice what he said here. He says, thus heaven I have forfeited. I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell. Yeah. Now, this is a direct quote from him. He's saying, I have forfeited heaven, and I know it full well. My soul was once true to God, but now it's chosen for hell. Why? I'm going to show you this. This is getting to the spiritual side of it. And, hey, it's only 12:05. There's another quote. This is from, I think, a play he wrote, The Player, 1841. So this is before he wrote the Communist Manifesto. So he was already a demented, demon-possessed soul. But notice he said, look now, My blood-dark sword shall stab unerringly within thy soul. The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See the sword, very important. See the sword, the prince of darkness sold it to me. For he beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death. The prince of darkness gave me the sword. When I saw that, I knew exactly, because he is the father of communism. Marx's family members said he was demon-possessed. Now, let me tell you something. We all have evil family members. But when your family members and close friends refer to you with words like, governed by a demon, his father said, my dear devil, his son, monster of 10,000 devils, said Ingalls, his partner, wicked knave, his wife, or the striking number of intimates and associates who did not hesitate to compare him to Faust or Mephistopheles, or use words like possessed to describe his demeanor, and on and on. One friend, journalist Carl Heisen, was not unique among contemporaries and biographers who observed or recorded Marx shouting or chanting the words from Faust and described him as mocking, trying to take under a spell, and possessing eyes like a wet goblin. To be sure, this is very much a short list. Some of these were likely in jest or expressed with a weird playfulness, though it's not always entirely clear. But it went on and on. It reminds me of the stories we have of Muhammad's mother saying that she believed he was possessed as a child. I won't read this. It just goes on to talk about him being demon-possessed, which was why he would say things like this. Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people. That's why he wanted to stamp out religion, particularly Christianity. He said it's the opium of the people. Basically, it's just a drug you're addicted on. It clouds your mind. You don't need it. You need the state to be your God. That's what he was all about. Communism is about the state being your God, which is why they will not allow competition. You understand? It's why they hate Christianity. It's why the Democrats and the left in this country hate Christianity. They hate the Bible. They hate the church. And if Biden does take office, mark it down, he's going to try to shut us down again. Already putting together his coronavirus team. I tell you, I'm ready for full resistance. Let's go back to what he says here. Remember I said a minute ago, very important. He says, see the sword? The prince of darkness sold it to me. Communism, the red horse. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. That's the sword. I believe the devil himself came to Marx and gave him the whole philosophy of communism and gave him the sword. Think about this. The philosophy of one man has killed hundreds of millions of people and destroyed country after country after country. Who in the Bible is called the destroyer of nations? Satan himself. See, that's why the red horse, because the color of communism is red. As we see here. Communism, war, but not just war. Revolution. Notice it said to kill one another. They kill each other. They kill their own people. They kill their own countrymen. They'll kill their own neighbor. This is a spirit. This is an evil spirit. And it's trying to take over America right now. Here's something he said about y'all letting your kids go to these indoctrination centers called public schools. The education, he said, the education of all children from the moment they can get along without a mother's care shall be in the state institutions at state expense. Y'all know that the founders of public education in America also were communists. Dewey, look up Dewey. Don't have time to cover them all. There it is again, more than a third of millennials polled. So the indoctrination of the children's working. Notice what he says here. There's only one way to kill capitalism: by taxes, taxes, and more taxes. Where do you think these philosophies came from? Do you know that my grandfather in the 1950s, I remember my dad telling me, and I remember talking to my grandfather about it and him confirming it, but my grandfather in the 1950s was just, at the time, he was, a car mechanic. So, you know, average, blue collar. But my dad said we had everything. We had three cars. We had a house. We always had food on the table. My mom didn't work. And my dad's total income taxes were about 11%. Think about that. Think about that. What if it was like that for us now? No, we're upwards of 50% and higher. But this is the communists, because they know what happens. You crush the people's ability to take care of themselves, so they must depend upon the state. And that's what this coronavirus is about. That's why the Chinese released it. That's why the Democrats have been behind it. They want to destroy small business. They want to destroy your ability to make a living, so you'll eventually be dependent on the universal income that's coming. But it gets worse. Karl Marx said, "The last capitalist we hang shall be the one who sold us the rope." But he's telling you right there. And I'm not going to take time to go into this more, but this man was a very evil, deadly man. He was like, the resistors of communism die. Let me just put it in a nutshell for you. They die. We'll hang them with their own rope. This right here, I just grabbed this morning and put it on here, is extremely wrong. These numbers are low. Really, it should say in China, 100 million. Soviet Union, closer to 60 million. Definitely 2 to 4 million in Cambodia. 1.7 million in Africa. I mean, it just goes on and on. To kill one another with the sword. That sword was given to him, boy, and I'm telling you what, it's evil. Now, I was going to play this stuff, but we have too many children in here today. There's a little bit of language, but I'm just going to let you see. These are videos, Bernie Sanders supporters saying they're going to take up arms against your normal, everyday American. Another guy, and I'm going to skip ahead. This guy right here says that we need to bring out the guillotines. And I'm not going to play it because there's some language in it. But go to Project Veritas and you can find these. Now, why am I saying all this? Because, church, listen to me. Here's what we must do. We're going to have to take it up a notch. Prayer. Fasting, but hear what I'm saying. We need to start educating people because they need to understand that some of the philosophies and beliefs and ideologies they bought into are satanic in origin. And so you can't break somebody free from something unless they understand what's holding them. And most of them don't understand it. And that's why you say, Pastor Dean, why you do these type of messages is because I'm trying to do a number of things. Educate you. Satan uses philosophy, ideology, belief systems. In fact, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I promise you I'm about done. Start at verse 3. He says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now he tells us where these strongholds get. What's the next scripture says? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what he's talking about is Satan builds strongholds in people's mind with high things and imaginations and that are against the knowledge, the revelation, the experience of the God of the Bible, creation. So when you see any philosophy, any belief system, any kind of doctrine or indoctrination that's against God's word, for instance, the spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God gives us what? Free will. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If any man will come drink of the water of the fountain of life, he can come freely. It's a choice. We have free will. Well, guess what? That's the knowledge of God. That's the revelation of God that we should be able to choose. We have freedom of choice. And we see a system of government or ideology or political thought that says, no, you have to think like we think or else. That is a belief, that is a system against the knowledge of God. You hear what I'm saying? So if we have to cast down, the only way we're going to cast down these strongholds is, what is the weapon? What is the primary weapon that we're going to use? One of the weapons, what? The sword of the Spirit. Right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But what is the sword of the Spirit? It's not the Holy Spirit. One of the things Jesus said, called the Holy Spirit, he said the Spirit of truth. The truth. So telling people the truth, whether it be a truth that's in Scripture or whether it be just a truth. I mean, just telling people the truth about communism is going to wake some people up when they find out, you know what? I've kind of fallen into some of that thinking. Listen, Islam is a belief system. You hear me? These are ideologies, belief systems, but these strongholds are in people's mind, and they are satanic strongholds, but they're satanic strongholds of ways of thinking. And they can only be torn down by using the weapons of our warfare that God has given us, the Spirit of truth. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. But guess what? If we don't speak the truth, if we don't go tell them, if we don't go educate them, then what? The sword is still in the sheath. And did you know in the scripture in Ephesians 4:27 where it says, don't give place to the devil? Everybody familiar with that one? Or neither give place to the devil, I think the King James says. Basically, don't give place. The Greek word there is topos, right? But the picture, Greek and Hebrew words always have word pictures with them. Do you know how you give place to the devil? That verse of Scripture, when it says give no place, means don't give place to the devil by putting your sword in the sheath. It should always be out of the sheath, waving at something, cutting something, and stabbing something. Meaning you should always be fighting. You should always be speaking the truth. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of the word of God. We have got to speak it. We have got to teach it. We have got to educate people. And the biggest hindrance is our fear. Our fear of what people are going to think. In the days that right now we got churches, they won't meet together because they're afraid of the government. Or they're afraid of what people might say about them. Let me tell you, I don't care if they come with another shutdown. I'm going to talk about masks here before long. Oh, boy. I don't care. We're done. You have to make up your mind. I'm done with submitting to an illegal, immoral authorities. We have to submit to authorities to a point. But once they start telling us to do things that are contrary to God's word, our conscience, when they start taking our freedom to worship the way we see fit, then guess what? It's time to say no. And you bet, yeah. You know, we listen to Pastor Greg Locke. How many of you know who Pastor Greg Locke is? That man went off yesterday. I mean, I'm mild today compared to him. He went off. But he just said it. He said, you know what, church? If you're out there taking the temperature at the front door, he said, I know the temperature. Lukewarm. He said, if your church is still not meeting because of the coronavirus, that church's pastor is a coward. And I agree with him 100%. Cowards. The early church met right in the street, knowing that the Romans and even their own leaders were against them. They watched some of their own people be stoned to death, like Stephen, be imprisoned, whipped and beaten like Peter and John, and thrown in prison. Did they go run and hide? And yet we're running hide. We're running hide. Oh, they said we can't meet because there's a virus. Some of you need to, you know something? Some of you are too worried about preserving your life in this life instead of living for God. Because here, I'm telling you, if Biden does steal the office, we are headed for a rough few years. So, and maybe, as my wife pointed out, and I agree with her, maybe we're reaping what we've sowed. Maybe the church is reaping what we sow because we've been lukewarm. Because we've been afraid to speak. Because we've been afraid to stand up. Maybe now God's going to allow circumstances to make us pray and make a decision. I guess I'll be quiet. You know, I finished this article with the Declaration of Independence. We forget that. And depending how far that the other side may want to take these things, it may come time to dissolve our political bands. Let me read this in the Declaration. This is from the Declaration of Independence. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth and separate an equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So he's saying, I'm going to explain why we're separating. It may come to this. He said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Since about 2008, I've been seeing the possibility that America may once again, like in the 1860s, become two separate countries. It may be the only answer. And at that, I say I'm fine with that. I don't see how you reconcile communism and being an American. Nope. Our country divided over the moral issue, and I should say the immoral issue of slavery. What if they try to enslave us again? All of us who disagree with their communist agenda. I would say, according to the Declaration of Independence, he says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. Sometimes it becomes necessary. It very well may be that we see the United States, United Free States of America, separate from what is now called the United States. Say, Pastor Dean, whew, that's crazy talk. Well, no, it's history. Last time I heard, history does repeat itself. Could be. Do I want that to happen? No. Will I live under communist rule without exercising my rights and doing all in my ability to remain a free man, to be able to worship God? I mean, the pilgrims fled the persecution of the Catholic Church in Europe to come here so they could worship the Lord Jesus Christ and have their Bibles freely and not be told they had to be Catholic or die. No one's going to tell me I have to be a Democrat, a socialist, a communist, that I have to be for abortion, that I can't meet in a church and sing Governor Newsom. No. I tell you what, it wouldn't bother me at all if all the people in the blue states that voted for Trump moved to the red states and all the people that voted for Biden in the red states moved to the blue states. And then we'll build a wall. It may go like this. Because we live in a nation, and I hate to say it, but we live in a nation full of fools. And people say, "Yo, don't call anybody a fool." Did I name a name? Jesus said, told the Pharisees, "You fools and blind." He called them fools. Fools. You know, beware of the useful idiot. And really, I mean, I don't understand. You want to live in America. You want to enjoy capitalism and freedom while you fight to end it. You are either deceived, confused, or just foolish. Just led by the media and by indoctrination and by demons. It makes no sense. Oh, yeah, I'm getting, you know, especially Hollywood, I'm getting rich here. But let's tear it down. Let's burn the system down. That makes a lot of sense. This system I'm prospering in, I'm blessed, things are going well, but let's burn it down. Insanity. Let's stand this morning. I want to just do the first song we did. That's a good song. We're going to go out on a happy note. Because you know why? No matter what happens here, look, I believe, and y'all know this, that's why I'm running for governor. Y'all know I believe we should fight. We should fight, and we should stand, and we should not just give in. All right? I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm going to do what I can in this world to make it better, to try to protect the innocent, to try to protect our rights. I'm going to do what I can do. But ultimately, no matter what happens, no matter if we come up short, no matter if we fail, we should still try. You understand? There was a pastor during the, I can't remember his name now. I need to look this up. But this is a true story. There was a pastor who preached a sermon about how we needed freedom and we need to fight. And this is when the Revolutionary War had begun. And at the end of his sermon, he took off his, back then they wore the robes preaching, remember? And he took off his robe and he had on a Continental Army uniform. Now, like in the movie The Patriot, they were representing him in The Patriot with this guy, but he's the guy in The Patriot movie said, you know, he said, sometimes you got to go fight the wolves. And I understand that. But hear me what I'm about to say. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through, Jesus is going to come back. And when he does come back, you need to make sure you are his. You are truly walking with him. You truly know him. You are born again. Your sins are washed away. You know that you know that you are saved and that Jesus is living inside of you. Because he is going to come again. And all the kingdoms of this world are going to bow the knee. And he is going to establish his throne. And those antichrists, communists, socialists, God haters are not going to be part of it. I mean, y'all forget. People talk. I saw an argument the other day to people talking about how the New Testament's grace. God just loves everybody. I hear about Jesus coming back, the sword coming out of his mouth, slaying the wicked until the blood runs to the horses' bridles and his garments covered in the blood of his enemies. You know why? The wicked will be rewarded for their wickedness. Right now, they have the offer of pardon, forgiveness, freedom. But most of them spit in his hand, spit in his face. Trust me, when Jesus comes back, it says he will tread the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. He came the first time as a little baby in a manger, as the lamb who would be slain. He's coming back as a lion to devour the wicked. And the Bible talks about his roar. Let me tell you right now, I can hear his roar. The king will return. Be on his side. Be on his side if you die. Or if you don't, you better be on his side if you're living when he comes. Amen. Let's do this song.
I just want to let you guys know it's not over. This election is not over. And I don't give up on your faith. Keep praying. I believe in the word of the prophets. And the prophets have spoken. This thing is not over. It looks like it is, but it's not. And we have to stay in faith and keep praying. I believe God wants Donald Trump. It is his desire for him to be president for 4 more years right now. And don't give up yet. Keep fighting in the spirit realm because there is witchcraft that has gone out over this man, over our nation. A lot of what you're talking about is just in Galatians 3, it talks about who has bewitched you? When you're talking about believers that are voting for what they're voting for, and when you know in the Greek that means who has put you under a spell. People are under a spell. We have to keep praying, you guys. This thing is not over. Until Biden takes the oath of office, I don't believe it's over. I think God is still working. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. And I agree. I know it's not over. There's a lot of things going on. The court battles start tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. But this is voter fraud on the massive scale. Never anything like it. You know, Trump overcame the voter fraud last time. They weren't prepared for how many people were going to vote for him, so they didn't have the hundreds and thousands of ballots ready. But they knew they had to get ready this time. And so it's going to be interesting. Though I don't know why, again, sometimes I wonder why in the world they allowed certain people to have the voting machines that they provide for us. Some things need to change.
You'll never see a Republican ever win anything major again.
Right. Yeah. It's got to be rooted out. All right, let's do this song and we'll be dismissed.
We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We lift you up, Jesus. Hear the mighty thunder, an army without number. Dancing on the kingdoms of this world. See the banner waving, hear the name they're praising. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So prepare the way for the ancient of days on a white horse. As it starts to ride, hear the people cry. Your throne will last forever, throughout the endless age. Every knee bow down, every tongue say loud. Your throne will last, forever. Yes, it will. See his eyes of fire. Is now a lion. He's bringing justice in his nail-scarred hand. And you know he's bringing down high places. The humble sing his praises. The king has returned to rule the land. Hey, so prepare the way.
So prepare the way. Creation comes to see. Jesus, you are.